The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. After this, aware that everything was now finished, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I thirst." There was a vessel filled with common wine. So they put a sponge soaked in wine on a sprig of hyssop and put it up to Jesus' mouth. When Jesus had taken the wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he handed over his spirit. Now, since it was preparation day, in order that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath day of that week was a solemn one, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs be broken and they be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and then of the other one who was crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one soldier thrust a lance into his side, and immediately blood and water flowed out. The Gospel of the Lord. Good and so on skin. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Happy rainy Monday morning to everybody here. It's a brand new feast day today. The feast of Mary, the mother of the church. A feast day that's so new that your priest forgot we were even celebrating it. Right? Had to go print out the readings on for my printer and switch everything up. It's only the second year we've ever celebrated this feast day. Mother of the church. It's always going to be on the Monday after Pentecost from now on. So if I forget in the future, you can just remind me, okay? It's a title that not a lot of people are terribly familiar with. And Mother of the Church is one of the newest titles of the Blessed Mother in our history. It was first used by Pope Benedict XIV in 1748. And if you're Catholic, 1748 is not all that long ago, pretty new. But the reality of Mary, Mother of the Church, that dates back all the way to Good Friday. And that's why we heard the reading that we just heard. Because from the cross, Jesus said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, John, "Behold your mother." Question for you here this morning. Why does Jesus say that? And why does he use those words of all the things that he possibly could say? Two reasons why. Okay? First reason is legal. Jesus is placing Mary under the protection of Saint John. And it's kind of interesting. That's the simplest explanation that Mary was ever virgin. You've heard these Gospels where they say Jesus and his brothers and your mother and your brothers and your sisters are looking for you. And people hear that and they think, well, maybe Mary wasn't ever virgin. Maybe Jesus had other brothers and sisters. This little passage is the simplest proof that Mary was ever virgin. Because if Mary had other children besides Jesus, the law would have placed her under their protection. The legal care of Mary would have gone to the next of kin. Okay, but that can't be the only reason why Jesus says what he says, because if that's all Jesus meant to say, why wouldn't he have just said, "John, please look after my poor mother"? But he doesn't say that. He speaks very deliberately with unusual words, and he says it twice. Not, "Mary, John's going to be just like a son to you now," but rather, "Woman, behold your son." And not, "John, Mary's going to be just like a mother now," but rather, "Behold your mother." See, the reason why, and as soon as he finishes that, he says, "Everything is now finished." That's because the work of redemption was completed on the cross. But you could truthfully say that the work of redemption began at the moment of the Annunciation. It began when Mary said to the angel Gabriel, "Let it be done unto me as you say." Mary gave physical life to Jesus. And Jesus gave us spiritual life on the cross. But Mary is the channel by which all spiritual life comes into the world. That's why we say she's the mother of divine grace, the mother spiritually of all of us. That's why we say Mary is the mother of the church. She's not just one more disciple among many. She's not just one more saint. She has a very specific role designed by God the Father from the beginning of the world, and her role in your spiritual life is not optional. Back in Holy Week of 1980, there was a worldwide gathering of university students in St. Peter's Square. And one of them caught the attention of Pope John Paul II. And if you've ever been to St. Peter's, you look around St. Peter's Square and there are statues and statues. There's a whole company of saints all around you. 162 statues of saints all around St. Peter's Square. And this young man said to the Pope, he says, "I'm looking around here and I'm not finding one single image of Mary in St. Peter's Square." And John Paul, he said, "Well, then we must complete the square." And 1 year later, they finished a beautiful mosaic. It's all blue. They bricked over a window and they put this beautiful mosaic of the Blessed Mother. And down below it, it says Mater Ecclesiae, the mother of the church. And because they had to brick over a window to do it, it's considered to be the final stone in St. Peter's Basilica. The completion of the church. Well, she's the completion of your spiritual life as well. You can't overestimate her importance. The mother of divine grace, the mother of us all. Let's ask for prayers to help us today. Mary, mother of the church, pray for us.